Trinity. My name is Lenore Russo, and I am one of the pastors here, and it is my joy to welcome you to worship. If this is one of your first times here, we are particularly thrilled that you have chosen to be here with us. If you are viewing online, welcome. And if you worship with us regularly, it is always a joy to share this time with you. I wanted to share a quote with you this morning as we're turning our attention towards God and away from the distractions of the world. This quote comes from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who wrote, "Grace confronts us as a gracious call to follow Jesus. It comes as a word of forgiveness to the broken spirit and the contrite heart. Grace is costly because it compels a person to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow Him. It is grace because Jesus says, 'My yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" And so this morning, as we turn our eyes towards Jesus, may the costly grace that is a gift from God welcome you this morning and boldly give you the courage to follow God where He is leading you. With that, I say to you, welcome home. Will you take a moment to greet those around you? And if you see a new face, please make sure to introduce yourself. Please remain standing and let us worship God together with our opening hymn, "Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive."
God, indeed, we are gathered here this morning. Bind us in the bonds of love as we seek to worship You, to glorify You. Build us up now as we stand shoulder to shoulder with one another in Your presence. Change our hearts and lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. And now, if you would please join me in affirming our faith using the words you see on the screen, let us say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
So I want to point your attention to our Connect card. It is in your bulletin. If you can take a moment to tear that out for us, you'll be able to put that in the offering plate as it comes by in just a few more minutes. You can use this card to give us your name and your email address if you regularly worship with us. And if this is your first time here, please feel free to offer as much information as you're willing to share. We'll gladly receive it. You can also use the Connect cards to note any prayer concerns or requests that you have. As we turn our attention now towards praying, I wanted to share with you the names of those who are in the hospital, rehab, or otherwise specialized care. I did want to share with you that both Joan White and Titus Harper passed into eternity yesterday. Joan White passed early in the morning, and Titus Harper passed later in the afternoon. Joan White leaves behind her son Keith and Lynn, and we want to pray for their family. And Titus Harper leaves behind his wife Eve, who is a member here at our church, as well as a very large family that we want to continue to hold up in prayer. In addition to that, we want to also remember to continue praying for all those who have been devastated and impacted by the Hurricane Matthew. And so with all of that in mind, I invite you now to take a moment of silence to lift before you prayers for the names in front of you, lift before you the prayers that you brought with you in the quiet of your heart, and then we will pray together. Gracious and merciful Lord, your loving kindness knows no end. Thank you for never tiring of pursuing a relationship with us. In the midst of our world that is so fractured by politics and seems so bent towards violence, help us increasingly respond to your relentless love by choosing to live in ways that mirror both the cross and the empty tomb. Help us learn what it means to really love our family, our friends, and even our enemies. And help us be people of Christ-like peace who defy the world's ways with acts of kindness and compassion and with words that bring healing and hope. Holy Spirit, sustain and heal all those who we have lifted up by name or in our hearts that are in need of your mercy and grace. Bring comfort to all who mourn. Breathe new life into Haiti and all those whose lives have been devastated by Hurricane Matthew. Empower those of us who can provide aid and encouragement to do so swiftly and in ways that magnify your power to redeem and to restore even the most broken of situations. And Lord, fill us with your holy passion so that we can truly be beacons of truth and light in a world that remains in such desperate need of your saving grace. Bind us together as one in Christ, as one in you, eternal and all-loving. Bind us together as we say together the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our prayer song today is Weigh It Down, a new song of giving ourselves over to God. Please remain sitting and open your hearts and minds to these powerful lyrics.
box today. We're going to be giving to UMCOR, which is the United Methodist Committee on Relief, and their work in Haiti in the Southeast Atlantic Coast. I'd like to show you this brief video.
We think church is more than a place to go on Sunday. We think church can happen anywhere. It happens as we respond in Haiti, the Bahamas, and the southeastern U.S. to Hurricane Matthew's devastation. And when we go beyond helping neighbors rebuild, staying until recovery is complete. The power of love can overcome the forces of nature. The United Methodist Church invites you to consider a small donation. Please visit umc.org/disaster.
Rather than send individual payments to UMCOR, we're inviting you to consider giving a gift, and you can give, leave that in the mission boxes at the back of our worship center before you leave today. But those funds can be designated specifically for Haiti or specifically for the Southeast Atlantic Coast, or if you simply give a gift, it will be divided equally in half. So if you feel led, please give generously as you leave today. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward now as we prepare to give back for the continued ministries of these church, of this church, and the ways that Trinity is specifically reaching out in our community and in our world. Let us pray. Great God of love, who has blessed us with not only life, but everything that flows into our life, we give back to you now out of the resources that you have given us the privilege of managing. May you use our tithes and our offerings to magnify your work in the world, to glorify Christ, and continue to plant seeds for your kingdom to come. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Emily Richardson, and today's sunlight offering is I Bet My Life by Imagine Dragons. The song is about a man who has strayed from God and realizes his mistake, and that despite it, God will welcome him back with open arms. The verse, Psalm 86:15, states, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." God's love is unending and amazing. No matter what path you've taken, how far you've let yourself wander away from him, God will accept you. The line, "I've told a million lies, but now I tell a single truth, there's you in everything I do," proves that one could tell lies and stray from the ways of God, but it's possible to turn around and change your ways if you just accept him into your life and live by doing as Christ would. And now leading today's offering song is Delia Savin and the Sunlight Choir Band.
You would never want me. I know I let you down tonight.
Thank you, Sunlight, for that offering this morning. So this morning we continue our message series, Losing Ourselves on Purpose. And throughout we will be seeking to understand more fully what it means to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross, and to live as disciples of Jesus. What does it mean to lose ourselves on purpose so we might find the Christ-like lives, the lives more abundant to which we are being called? Now last week, Catherine started us off by sharing about true humility, which C.S. Lewis aptly put, is not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. Such humility is in some ways necessary for us to live into the trait we will be exploring today, forgiveness. Will you please pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this morning, so that in the reading of the Scripture, your word is heard. In the meditations of our hearts, your word is known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, your word is shown. Amen.
She said I was mean. She made fun of how I look. He stole something from me. She lied about me. She said I was being a baby. He cut in front of me in line. He pushed me down. She said I was annoying. She talked about me behind my back. She left me out. He made fun of my family. She told on me. She invited everyone but me. She said I'm not his friend. She said she didn't like me anymore. He called me a loser. She hurt my feelings.
He lied about me.
She said I was
she said I was mean.
He called me a wimp.
He didn't.
She made fun of how I looked.
He told me no one liked me.
She lied about me.
He said she didn't want to be friends with me.
He said he hated me. But you know what? I forgave him.
I forgave him. I forgave her. I forgave him. I forgave her. I forgave her.
I forgave him.
I forgave her.
I forgave her.
I forgave.
I forgave her.
I forgave him.
I forgave her.
I forgave.
I forgave.
I forgave her.
If you forgive others, you will be forgiven.
Lately, my favorite firstborn daughter, Gabrielle, has been leaving notes on the 21st century chalkboard in my office, the whiteboard. And one that was written there earlier this week is a lyric from the Need to Breathe song that she sang with Sunlight a couple weeks ago, Let Us Love Like We Were Children. Let us love like we were children. Oddly enough, the note written next to that read, Your smile looks good on you. You should wear it more often. I was wondering, Gabrielle, you've been trying to tell me something? Anyway, as I was preparing for this message, her note, Let Us Love Like We Were Children, came to mind because of these words found at the beginning of Matthew chapter 18, which precede the text we will be focusing on this morning. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then he called the little child over to sit among the disciples and said, I assure you that if you don't turn your lives around and become like this little child, you will definitely not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who humble themselves, like this little child, will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus wanted his disciples to learn something about humility from the example of children. And it clearly wasn't a coincidence that a few verses later, he was teaching them about forgiveness. So with the example of the children's video testimonies of forgiveness, and these words from Jesus about children and humility in mind, I invite you to hear these words from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Hear now the word of God. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Should I forgive as many as seven times? Jesus said, not just seven times, but rather as many as 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, they brought to him a servant who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. Because the servant didn't have enough to pay it back, the master ordered that he should be sold, along with his wife and children and everything he had, and that the proceeds should be used as payment. But the servant fell down, kneeled before him, and said, please, be patient with me, and I'll pay you back. The master had compassion on that servant, released him, and forgave the loan. When the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 coins. He grabbed him around the throat and said, pay me back what you owe me. Then his fellow servant fell down and begged him, be patient with me, and I'll pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he threw him into prison until he paid back his debt. When his fellow servants saw what happened, they were deeply offended. They came and told their master all that happened. His master called the first servant and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you appealed to me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? His master was furious and handed him over to the guard responsible for punishing prisoners until he had paid the whole debt. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if you don't forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The word of God for the people of God. God's people say, thanks be to God. Sometimes we don't know that we need it. Sometimes we withhold it, but we shouldn't. To get it, we have to give it. We might even think that we don't need it, but we do. We can get it without asking for it, and we can give it without being asked. Sometimes it's the hardest thing we do, but when we do, it's worth it, because we need to give it as much as we need it ourselves. After all, God gives it to us. Forgiveness is everything. And I learned about forgiveness the hard way. More than 11 years ago, after my mom died from ovarian cancer, I suffered a dark night of the soul and very selfishly isolated myself from those closest to me, namely Lenora and Gabrielle, who was then our only child. I kept telling them and telling myself that what I was going through was just a season. This too shall pass. To make matters worse, I had been out of step with God for a very long time. So I was on a self-made island of emotional seclusion. Lenora tried and tried and tried to get through to me, to help me, and if it wasn't her help that I wanted, she begged me to get help somewhere else. I kept saying, this is just a season. I don't need help, I just need time. Seasons continued to come and go, and finally, out of her desperation in the midst of the pain and the alienation she felt from me, Lenora committed herself to the idea that our marriage was over, that it needed to end. And when I found out, my response was, how could you do this to me? How could you do this to our family? And I felt every conceivable emotion that comes with the blame game that we play when others hurt us. After a while, I began to think, Jesus tells me I have to forgive 70 times 7. So I will. But things will never be the same between us again. And after a time, I began to see past my own pain and see Lenora and all her pain over what had happened between us. And things began to change. I soon realized that I, too, had miserably failed our relationship and that I needed to bear responsibility for that. And God helped me to see that true forgiveness, forgiveness from the heart, is never conditional. As in, I forgive you, but things will never be the same between us again. True forgiveness is simply, this isn't always easy, I forgive you. Period. So I offered Lenora the forgiveness that she didn't think I would give. And I asked for her forgiveness in return. And this marked the first step in our journey of reconciliation. We bared our souls to one another and fully participated in the ministry of reconciliation modeled for us by Jesus Christ. Together, we desperately wanted a healing and restoration of our marriage. The beauty that God has made in our marriage today out of our brokenness that still amazes me. It's been said that an open heart has greater power than a clenched fist. Had I allowed the response to my hurt to continue being a clenched fist, had I never opened my heart, I don't know what would have happened. But I know without doubt that God's grace and forgiveness would never have had the opportunity to work in our lives, and that our family would not be where we are today. Nor would Lenora and I be preparing to celebrate 15 years of marriage in February. For that, I say thanks be to God. Even so, we had received God's forgiveness. We had received the forgiveness that we had offered each other. But you know what was the most difficult part? Forgiving ourselves. Eventually, we claim for ourselves this truth from the Apostle Paul found in Romans chapter 8 of the Message. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. That's what forgiveness from the heart brings. A magnificent clearing of the air and freedom. Now, if you have ever struggled with forgiveness, or are sitting here this morning, even now, struggling with forgiveness, I can only imagine some of the conclusions you might be reaching having heard only the Cliff Notes version of our story. Let me assure you, it was incredibly difficult, and it was a long process of healing. And I want to be clear, we never tried to deny all that happened or try to gloss over it like the things we had done didn't matter. A lot happened, and it all mattered. It's just that in the face of that reality, we chose forgiveness over revenge, resentment, and bitterness. Indeed, forgiveness is a choice we have to make. This is why Jesus responded to Peter's question the way that he did. When asking Jesus if he should forgive a brother or sister as many as 7 times, Peter thought he was being generous. I mean, he was willing to forgive 7 whole times. But wrong him an 8th time, well, that's a different story. And see, that is a picture of conditional forgiveness. So according to the Common English Bible, Jesus responds not 7 times, Peter, 77 times. Other translations put it, as I've already said, 70 times 7 times. But it doesn't much matter because Jesus wasn't trying to give us a quantifiable number. This number he was giving was meant to represent an infinite number. Until Christ comes in final victory over sin and death, we will continue hurting one another in our human brokenness. So it's up to us to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and respond to those hurts with grace and mercy and unconditional forgiveness. To drive this point home for his disciples, Jesus told them the parable of the unforgiving servant. In this parable, a servant owed his master a debt that could never be repaid. Never. 10,000 bags of gold. But the master heard the servant's plea, had compassion on him, released him, and forgave the loan. Now, one would think that the servant, having been forgiven a seemingly unforgivable debt, would joyfully receive that forgiveness and pay it forward. However, it seems that the servant was unaware of what it says in Psalm 32. The one whose wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered over, is truly happy. Because after he left the king, he ran into a fellow servant who owed him a reasonable debt, only 100 coins. That could be repaid, unlike his 10,000 bags of gold that had been forgiven just a minute ago. And incredibly, rather than pay forward the grace and forgiveness he himself had received from the king, the servant bitterly demanded repayment. The forgiven servant became an unforgiving servant and had his fellow servant jailed until the debt was repaid. The unforgiving servant wrongly chose revenge, resentment, and bitterness over grace and forgiveness. He also learned the hard way that, as the saying goes, bitterness is a cup we prepare for others but end up drinking ourselves. My friends, because of the grace, mercy, and forgiveness we have received from God through Jesus Christ, we too must generously offer grace, mercy, and forgiveness to others. When we have been wrong, and we all have, we must lose ourselves and purposely forgive from the heart. After all, each week in worship we pray these words in the presence of God and the congregation. We pray them already. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now the truth is, we have to regularly pray, forgive us our trespasses, because we all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups that interfere in our relationship with God and with others. This stuff is analogous to baggage. Heard that expression, the baggage we carry. I am fond of saying that we all have baggage. The question is, does it fit in an overhead compartment or do you have to check it at the gate? Years ago, my baggage probably looked like this. You can't get onto an airplane with a bag this size. But thankfully, I've learned how to shed these things that get in the way of my relationship with God and with others. And I pray that the baggage I carry is now more about that size And I did just travel with this, and it did fit in the overhead compartment. Revenge, resentment, and bitterness weigh too much, and they take up far too much space. So I ask you this morning, what might you need to shed to lighten your load? Do you need to seek someone's forgiveness for something you've done? Is there something for which you need to accept God's forgiveness and forgive yourself once and for all? Or do you need to lose yourself on purpose and offer someone else the grace, mercy, and forgiveness you have received from God, even if they haven't asked? Forgiveness is everything. Let us pray. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your faithful love. Wipe away our wrongdoings, forgive, and cover over our sin. Help us to receive with humility and gratitude the grace, mercy, and forgiveness of Christ. Like a strong wind that magnificently clears the air, give us the strength to lose ourselves and offer that same grace, mercy, and forgiveness to others, even those, especially those, we once felt undeserving or who never asked. Unclench our fists and open our hearts to forgive as you have forgiven. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Each and every week, when we come to the Lord's table, we remember the incredible and costly sacrifice that was paid so that we could be truly forgiven. It was the price of God coming in his flesh, coming to dwell among us. He moved into the neighborhood, and then he went to the cross, and Christ died so that we could be reconciled with God and then reconciled with each other. And the beauty of our story in Christ Jesus is that he didn't just die on the cross, but God rose victorious from the grave, and that clears the air. We don't have to live under the burden of unforgiveness because Christ paid the price, and Christ rose so that we could receive forgiveness, and in receiving forgiveness, also receive the grace so that we can also forgive ourselves and each other. And it was knowing this, with all this in mind, that Jesus sat at the table and he took the bread of redemption. It was the bread that they ate after the meal that signified God's redemption of Israel from slavery. That God, Christ was telling them, this isn't just a remembrance of the past. This is a reminder that I am with you and I am constantly making all things new. And so he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the cup after the meal. Cup of redemption that signified the sacrifice he was going to make forgiveness possible. And he lifted it to the Father and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples and he said, take and drink. For this is the blood of the new covenant which is being poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. remembrance of me. Let's pray. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on this bread and on this juice, that it may be a means of grace for us to truly receive again the forgiveness that is available in Christ, that washes us clean and clears the air magnificent. And Lord, as we receive this amazing grace, may it work within us so that we can forgive ourselves and others. Make us one in Christ and one for all the world, so that Christ may be glorified in our lives and magnified in all that we say and do. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite those who are going to serve with us to come forward now. United Methodist Church, all are welcome at Christ's table, which means you don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come and receive all that Christ has for you this morning. As you come forward, we're going to invite you to come out the left and then come forward, receive the bread that is torn off for you. You can dip it into the cup and then consume it. You can return on the opposite side, or you can come and you can kneel and pray. You're also welcome to sing and meditate, but receive whatever the Lord is impressing upon your heart today. We have gluten for you if you need it, so please don't hesitate to ask. And come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
Grace is enough. Reminds us that your forgiveness is always present as long as we remember the promise of you. Please stand and join us in singing our final song today.
You wrestle with us.
invite you to take the hand of the person next to you and receive this blessing as you go today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace.